Good morning. We're going to be in the epistle of 2 Peter this morning. I want to talk about everything we need. Our text is 2 Peter verse 1, verses 3 through 8. Before we get into the text, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Holy Father, I thank you for those who have come out to hear your word today. Father, I just pray that I will decrease, that you will increase, that you will enable me to speak this text in truth as it is. Open our ears, our eyes, and our hearts to receive this. I thank you for the encouragement of your word. I thank you for when your word rebukes us, Lord. I thank you that you are God and that you love us enough that you have adopted us as your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Peter said, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." The decision to follow Jesus Christ begins with faith, and I know everyone here knows that, or should. Jesus was talking to a Pharisee one time, a man named Nicodemus. You're probably familiar with John chapter 3. And he said to Nicodemus, "He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true." When we come to Christ by faith, we are supposed to cease being of this world. In one place it says that, I believe it was Paul speaking, said that the false teachers teach in a worldly way, therefore the world will listen to them. Jesus just said, "I'm telling you things that I've seen and heard, and most people won't believe me, but those of you who do believe me have set this to your seal that God is true." So when we receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, we step out in faith, and the Bible plainly says we become children of God. But sadly, some people think, some churches I've been around and people, that faith ends there. You know, I believe in Jesus, and now I know I'm saved. But the truth is, God accepts you and I just as we are when we come to him. I told you last week, I've had people say, "Well, I'd come to church, but I need to get this and that straightened out." No, you don't. God accepts you just as you are, but he has no intention of leaving you that way. Yeah, that's a cold, hard fact. And some people think, "I really don't have anything I need to change." But you got to remember, you have to look in the mirror of the Word. You have to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. My third year of Bible college, they asked me what I've learned, and I said, "Only the Ten Commandments are in stone, and I can't believe you want me to give up something as holy as my own opinion." And I'm afraid many of us have that attitude. So God intends to change us when he saves us. And this isn't a one-time deal. I've heard some powerful testimonies from people. You know, I got saved. I was a heroin addict and I was clean. Praise God. But how many of you understand we carry a lot of baggage in salvation? At least I did. I still got some I've been dragging around for 40 years. And I'm glad God's a patient God, because he's willing to work with me. But too often I see Christians that's been Christians for 50 years, and spiritually they still walk around sucking their thumbs. And I don't understand that. We are called to grow in Christ. Do you believe that? To grow up in Christ. You know, when a baby talks baby talk, it's cool. It's cute and all. But when they get about 7 or 8 and they go goo goo goo, then you say, hey, grow up. And I think that's what God's saying to his church. Grow up. Faith doesn't end when we get saved. Salvation is just the beginning of our walk with Christ. You know why they're sitting over here? Because they know I favor my left when I preach. So next Sunday, y'all can sit over there, and then I'll just preach at the doors, I guess. But yeah. Peter said, God's divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Do you believe that? Yes. I believe that. Then how come we don't live godly? Sometimes we try to blame it on God. I've heard testimonies like, well, when God wants me to do this, or when God wants to change this in my life, he's just going, and I'll be changed. That's not what the scriptures teach. I've been called a work salvationist for 40 years, and it doesn't bother me. But what did the Apostle James say? Faith without works is what? Dead. D-E-D, dead. I'm just seeing if you're paying attention. Yeah. I had a guy here one time just lit into me over that. Well, that's work salvation. No, it's not. We work with God. You understand? God wants to change you. He wants to change me, but you and I have to consent to that. Now, Peter said he has given us very great and precious promises. Where's that found? It's okay to answer. In the Bible. Good night. We need to start preaching salvation all over again and then start moving on. Huh? It's in the Word. How do you get it? You can read it. I used to have a set of Bible cassette tapes. Shows you how old I am. They don't make cassettes anymore. But I would listen to them going down the road. And I'll tell you what, you can get them in CDs. It's a blessing sometimes, especially if you're tired, you don't feel like reading, and you can put them in and listen to the Word. I've got blessed like that so many times, like somebody's reading the Word to me. But you know what? You gain knowledge like that, but knowledge does not become wisdom till you apply it. Okay? See, God has given us His wisdom. You remember what Peter said? The Christian life is for His glory, not mine. God saved us for His glory. You didn't do anything, darn it, and I sure didn't do anything, darn it. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, is it not? But don't treat God like, well, by your grace, I'm going to grow and I'm not going to put any effort into it. It doesn't work that way, sweet pea. I'm sorry, but a lot of the restoration churches I've been in, we got it down pat, Matthew 28. Go into all nations and baptize them. And then we stop. Is that where Jesus stopped? No. He said, make disciples out of them, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. We fall way short of that, church. And we ain't the only ones. I was talking to a Baptist preacher friend of mine a while back. Yeah, I got some Baptist friends. Don't freak out. And he told me, brother, we all fail in that area. He said, I agree with you 100%. Why? It takes effort to teach. I'm not boasting on myself. If you're going to teach and you're going to teach correctly, you have to put time in it. And if you're going to learn church, you have to put time into it. I had a guy come up to me one time after church and said, man, that was a great sermon. I got excited and shouted. I said, what did I preach on? I don't know, but you shouted. So boy, that was a great sermon. Well, if that's all you want, I can get up here and shout for a few minutes and everybody go home and say, wasn't that a great sermon? Do you hear him shout? See him chicken walk, look like he's under the anointing? That's childish, church. I don't have to shout to be under the anointing. I might have to shout because some of you are hard of hearing, but I don't have to shout because I'm under the anointing. What? I'll stop. Do you believe that God has given you everything you need for life and godliness? Yeah. Do you depend on that? I've found in my life that there's times I've been pretty content with what I feel is my godliness, my Christianity. You know, there's things I don't do that I used to do. Makes me pretty godly. Then the Holy Spirit will go, by the way, oh, come on, Lord. I gave up whiskey and wild women. What else do I got to give up? How about your attitude? How about your temper? Well, Lord, I'm Irish. See what I'm saying? I guess I'm the only one that talks to God that way. You know, when I first came to Christ, there were things that were not important to me. When I received the Holy Spirit, they became very important. My walk with Christ. Because I realized that I'm here for His glory, not mine. I also realized, Christian, that we are some of the only Bible people ever read. You got people who won't pick up this book, but boy, they'll sure watch you. They'll listen to you. They'll see how you conduct your lives. We're here to bring God glory by the way we live. You can read this book. You can memorize whole chapters out of this book. But if you're not willing to apply it and live it, it doesn't mean a thing to God. Some of you don't remember Nikita Khrushchev. He was a Russian leader, probably before some of you were born. Well, I'll look this way. Some of you were born. That man could quote chapters of the Bible and was an atheist because he learned it in Sunday school in Russia. So see, being able to quote the scriptures doesn't mean a thing to God. That doesn't impress him. If you remember when Satan tempted our Lord, the Lord was rebuking him with scripture. What did Satan do? He quoted the 92nd Psalm, verbatim. Jesus didn't go, wow, you must be saved. It doesn't mean a thing to God if it doesn't mean a thing to you and I. God wants an intimate relationship with us. He sent His Son to the cross because He had to. He had to shed that blood in order for you and I to be reconciled to Him. There were no other choices. There were no other sacrifices. It had to be done. And He loved us enough that He did it. And Jesus loved us enough and loved the Father enough that He went. And He's left us this book, which is still one of the best-selling books in America and the least read. You ever been in people's houses and they'll have the big King James Bible out on the coffee table? I wonder, how many times do you read that? Now, I'm not being critical. Peter said, we have been given very great and precious promises. How many of them have you read? How many of you received? I'm not a name it and claim it. God makes promises. Do you believe Him? You believed enough to get saved. That's the way I feel about myself. Hey, I believed enough to get saved. I believe the gospel enough to get saved. Why do I struggle with believing God for the rest of my life? Salvation is the beginning of the journey that we enter into to follow Jesus Christ. It's a lifelong journey. It is a journey of relinquishing my free will to God's will. Yeah. And I'm honestly, as a Christian, I don't always agree with the Lord, especially when He's dealing with me personally. It's like, oh, well, now wait a minute. But you know what? It's going to be His way or no way at all. I believe that. Do you believe the Lord's coming back someday? Amen. Do you believe that there's going to be a great judgment? So do I. Do you believe that the scriptures say we'll give an account for all of our deeds, whether good or bad? Yeah. Do you believe that God loves you? I do. Do you believe He only has your best interest in mind? Yeah. When I was littler, I'd get a spanking. Got a lot of them. But generally my dad would say, you know, this hurts me worse than it does you. And I'd think, you're the biggest liar in this area. You ain't the one bawling. But you know, when I had my own kids, I realized Dad wasn't lying. You don't want to discipline your kids. The Bible says that God disciplines us because He doesn't want to judge us with the world. Peter said, God has given you and I everything we need for a life of godliness and to be partakers of the divine nature. That doesn't make you a god, and it doesn't make me a god, but it means God invites me to partake of His nature. Is that the nature you want? That's the nature I want. The Apostle Paul said that God is changing us from glory to glory. And one of my Bible college professors said in the Greek, literally, it can be translated image to image. That's clearer to me. God wants to transform us from image to image. Whose image? Jesus Christ. Yeah. I'm not any good on my own, church. I want to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. I hope that's your desire. But you know what? That takes effort on our part. Oh, that's work salvation, brother. Okay. What do you do with Ephesians chapter 4 when Paul was talking to the church of his day and he said, you need to walk away from the works of darkness that God called you out of. Give it up. You give it up. Not expect God to jerk it out from under you. You give it up. You lay it down. And then in verse 28, he says, let the thief steal no more, but let him work with his hands that he might be able to provide for those in need. So what happened? The taker became a giver. That's God's will. The taker becomes a giver. The lazy man becomes the working man. Work is God's idea, men. He put Adam and Eve in the garden to work the garden. Salvation takes work, church. I'm not talking about work salvation. I'm talking about working with Him and allowing Him to mold us into that image that He wants to mold us into. But molding's painful. You remember Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branch. Or you can say it this way, I am the vine, you are the branch. He said, every branch in me that bears fruit, God prunes. You know that pruning is painful? What does he mean by that? He cuts away the dead so the branch will produce more fruit. Yeah. Every branch of me that doesn't bear fruit, he cuts off. What happens is, he said, it's gathered up and burned. I don't want to be a burnt branch. I want to be a fruitful branch. Fruitful. I took speech therapy in school. It still didn't do any good. Fruitful. I want to produce fruit. Not for my glory, for His. I want my life to count. Do you? To count for Jesus Christ. Peter said, if we lack these qualities, we will become unfruitful and unproductive. Now, I strayed off the text. My apologies. The point I want to make here, Peter says, supplement your faith. The King James says, add to your faith. It means the same thing. Peter said, supplement your faith with virtue. And virtue with knowledge. And knowledge with self-control. And self-control with steadfastness. That's patience. I have a lot of problem in that area. Steadfastness with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love. Does God do that for us? This means yes and this means no. Y'all afraid to answer that question? No. Otherwise, Peter would have said, pray for God to supplement your faith with virtue. Pray for God to supplement you with patience. I don't pray for patience. I tried that once. He gives you reasons to be patient. So it's like, okay, God, We'll put patience on the back burner for a while. What Peter say? You add. Does that take work? Yes or no? Okay. I'm not trying to hammer you, church. And I know you probably already know this. But Peter says it's good for us to be reminded. This world we live in is so full of distractions and false doctrine and false gospels and false Jesus. You better be in the Word. Jesus said, whatever's in a man's heart is what comes out. Garbage in, garbage out. False doctrine in, false doctrine out. Do you want to partake of the divine nature? I do. How much of Jesus do I want? All I can have, all I can get, all He's willing to give me. How much do you want? I've heard a saying for years, and I've never agreed with it. Well, you can get so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. That's hogwash. You can be so earthly minded, you're no heavenly good. That's a fact. We've been called to be heavenly minded. You know, the older I get, the more I realize that the things of heaven are a lot more important than the things of this world. This is only temporary. It's going to burn one of these days. Peter said it'll melt with a fervent heat. All your money, all your possessions, everything that we want to cling to, it's going to burn up. But what's going to last? Heaven. This life is to get us ready for the kingdom of heaven. I want to be ready. Yeah. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And I believe everybody in here wants to hear that. The point I'm trying to make this morning, church, we have to work at it. Sometimes you got to shut off the boob tube and read the book. You're not going to get sanctified watching Andy Griffith, Beverly Hillbillies. Now, I understand it's okay to take a break once in a while. Sometimes when I get done preaching, I don't want to go home and watch another preacher. I want to watch Clint Eastwood blow somebody out of their socks. You know, I just need the distraction. Yeah, or John Wayne, or, you know. But remember, whatever we put the most time in is what it's going to produce in us. This world lies. This world will try to tell you that things are going to make you happy that will not make you happy. And I tell young people all the time, sin will take you a lot farther than you want to go. When I did drugs, I thought I was doing the drugs, and I realized the drugs were doing me. That's the way sin is. I don't have a problem. Oh, yeah, you do. What a God, church, we serve. He not only saves us, He says, I want an intimate, personal relationship with you, and I'm willing to share my nature with you. He knows all about you. He wants you to know all you can about Him. Yeah. But He's not going to shove this word in your ear. He's not going to force this on you. We're free will. I believe in that 100%, and there's plenty of scriptures to back it. We are free will. It's our choice. Is it your choice what music you listen to? Okay. I need to get one of them little bobhead dogs used to be in the cars, and I can just flip it and sit there and go like that all the time. Is it your choice what you watch? Is it your choice what you read? Is it your choice where you spend your time? Sure. Was it your choice to come to Christ? Amen. Now, I'm not saying He didn't come after you. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit didn't woo you. So many times people think that's what I mean, but that's not what I mean. But you had to make a decision to come to Jesus Christ, and that took faith. You got faith and don't even know it. Oh, my faith is so weak. If you got enough faith to be saved, you got faith. Just don't leave it at the door. Don't say, well, praise God, now I know I'm going to heaven. We need to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, how can I become a better person? How can I reflect your glory? How can I reflect the love that you've shown? He wants us to be partakers of his nature, and we have to work at that. Will you stand with me this morning? Making disciples is done with a purpose and on purpose. I don't care if you're teaching 5-year-olds or 50 years old. You need to have a purpose when you go in to teach. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ is done on purpose. Yeah. It's a choice that you and I have to make. I still struggle. I still stumble. I've been a Christian 41 years this year. And I still haven't got it all right. I know I haven't. But I know who I believe in, as Paul said, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep those things that I committed unto him against that day. He's not done with me yet. He's not finished with you yet either. Be like clay in the hands of a potter. Allow God to mold you into the vessel he wants you to be.